Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with the goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's our delight today to be talking with Ken Timmerman. He's the author of the bestseller called The Election Heist. He also has a newsletter called Threat Watch. And I'm thankful to be able to receive that. We're going to ask him in a moment how you can get on that mailing list to receive that by your email box. We're delighted to have him with us today. He has a great deal of knowledge in the Middle East in general. And as a result of that, we're asking some questions that others perhaps could not answer. We just asked before the news break about the EMP and what that would do to the globe, to the nation, to America in particular. Ken, I understand from one writer that said that if an EMP were to explode above the America, that it would set us back to about the 1700s with no potentiality of getting back to where we are today for many, many, many years. That would devastate and destroy the United States of America for all intents and purposes. So the key question that needs to be asked, what would be the Joe Biden's administration, what is their goal? What are they wanting to accomplish? Again, reiterate that for our listeners. What are they wanting to do to want to restart the nuclear program that they put into place in 2015 and was taken out in 2018 by President Trump?
You know, it's really astonishing, Pastor, when you look at the early actions of the Biden administration. One of the first executive orders that Joe Biden signed as president essentially banned the United States from finding alternate sources of these transformers for our electric grid. The president, President Trump, understood that our grid was vulnerable, that the electric grid could be penetrated by the Chinese either through cyber war or through an EMP, and he put in place measures that would allow us to toughen up the grid, make it more resilient, and allow us to go to foreign manufacturers if needed, but also to promote manufacturing here in this country so we could make those transformers instead of having to go to Germany or South Korea, which is the case today. Well, Joe Biden reversed all of that and said, no, we don't need to make our grid more resilient. We don't need to produce those transformers here. It's okay. We can be dependent on the rest of the world because the world is a happy place. It's pretty shocking, frankly. There was no reason for him to do that. It was not a very politically sensitive issue. People weren't clamoring on the streets. Gee, Mr. President, please allow the Chinese to control our electric grid. That wasn't the kind of thing that would bring BLM out or Antifa to the streets. So why did he do that? And I think he did that because of a worldview. They have a worldview in this administration that America is bad. America should not lead. America should not be powerful. Our military should not be strong. Pregnant women should be driving aircraft and in submarines, and LGBTQ persons, because who knows what gender they are, should be basically running the military. We should sissify the military and destroy our society from within. And I think that's really a disgrace. And I would really call on all patriotic Americans to think about this very clearly and think about the steps that we can take to reassert our sovereignty, first as individuals, but also as states and as red counties. We can talk about that a little bit later on. A friend of mine, Trevor Loudon, who's an expert on the Communist Party and has exposed the Communist Party infiltration and control of BLM, the BLM movement, and the organization BLM, Inc., Trevor Loudon suggests, first and foremost, that the MAGA movement take over the Republican Party. He says, there's not another party. Take it over, get involved at the precinct level, and make sure, number one, that we fix our election laws so we can't get another election stolen from us.
I believe that is so vital, and you've stated it so succinctly. And I believe our listeners need to understand that we need to be active, involved. The Bible is very, very clear, Ken, and I know you're aware of that, that we're to be salt and light. That means we're to be actively involved in a decaying, darkened world, that we are that salt and light. Ken, recently in The American Thinker, you wrote an article that I was very pleased with, and you stated in part, argue that the public statement and private overtures toward Iran by the team Biden could amount to a green light for an Iranian assassination against the Saudi crown prince. Explain what you're thinking by that.
Well, the Saudi crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, has become the whipping boy of the Biden team at the White House and at the State Department. Again, one of their first moves is after taking over power in late January was to release an intelligence analysis that implicated or claimed to implicate the Saudi crown prince in the murder of a Saudi dissident, Jamal Khashoggi, who was killed in Istanbul in the Saudi embassy, quite probably by Saudi intelligence officers. And if you go and read this intelligence estimate, which was given to President Trump, and he spoke about it at the time, and he said, well, you know, yeah, I've seen it, but it doesn't, to me, clearly indicate the Saudi crown prince. And besides, we have national security interests for maintaining our relationship with him. President Trump didn't act on it and did not put any sanctions in place. Well, Joe Biden said, we're going to cut off all ties with the Saudi crown prince, and we're going to cut off all arms sales to Saudi Arabia as they are engaged in a proxy war with Iran in neighboring Yemen. Now, Yemen is just to the south. It's on the southern part of the Arabian Peninsula, giving onto the Red Sea and into the Gulf there, onto the Indian Ocean. And they have been, from Yemen, the Iranians have been launching missiles and drones against Saudi oil fields, against the Saudi capital, against civilian airports in Saudi Arabia. And I think you can understand the Saudis are pretty upset about that and are fighting back vigorously, and they're doing it with U.S. weapons. Well, now, thanks to Team Biden, they're going to have a harder time getting resupplied with those U.S. weapons to maintain that proxy war. The Iranians are just licking their chops, just licking their chops. So I argue in this article that the Biden team is essentially giving a green light to Iran to assassinate Mohammed bin Salman. The Iranians want to assassinate him because they believe he was involved in the killing of Soleimani, the head of the Quds Force, the top terrorist of Iran, who was killed by a U.S. drone strike in Baghdad on January the 2nd, 2020, right? And President Trump has talked about this quite openly. But the Iranians believe that Mohammed bin Salman was involved in that with intelligence. They want him dead, and the Biden people are basically telling them, go right ahead. No bother to us. Go ahead and do it.
One of the things that is frightening from a human standpoint, and I use that term realizing that God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of faith, according to the scripture. But you make a statement in your recent Threat Watch. You made a statement, if you want to know what really is behind the longstanding Democrat love affair with Iran, Islamic Iran, go back and read my book, U.S. Policy Toward Iran, Countdown to Crisis, The Coming Nuclear Showdown with Iran. Tell us a little more about that book and let our listeners know how they might obtain a copy of that.
Well, the book looks at 30 years of U.S.-Iran policy, the missteps by both Democrats and Republicans. And it looks at what's going on inside Iran. It looks at their nuclear weapons program. And the third big theme, it looks at the Iranian opposition and the missed opportunities we had in the United States to help the Iranian people to overthrow the regime. Again, my belief is that the only way, the best way, certainly, but probably the only way of truly mitigating the threat from this Islamic terror regime in Iran is to help the Iranian people themselves rise up and get rid of the regime. But consistently, over Republican and Democrat administrations, we have refused to do that. So I tell all of those stories in a chronological pattern in Countdown to Crisis. And in the book, there's also some pretty astonishing information that has really never made it into the national media, that because it came from defectors from Iranian intelligence who I debriefed, literally spent man years of time debriefing these people. And these defectors explain Iran's involvement with al-Qaeda, with the 9/11 attacks, Iran's ongoing war with us since the early 1980s in Lebanon. By the way, I was on the ground and witnessed that myself. I was there the day that the Iranian blew up the U.S. embassy in Beirut in April of 1983. And then later, not that October, they killed 241 U.S. Marines in Beirut again. It was Iran that planted those bombs with the goal of driving us out of Lebanon. So Countdown to Crisis gives you that whole backstory, which you need to understand what is going on today. And as I said earlier, when you read that book, which was published first in 2005, you'll say, my gosh, it reads like it was written yesterday, because the Iran story has these permanent features to it of American missteps, American governments failing to acknowledge the Islamic nature of the regime and the terrorist nature of the regime and their dedication to destroying America as we know it.
Tell our listeners how they can receive a copy of that book.
The easiest thing is just go to my website, kentimmerman.com, and you'll see a picture of the cover with Qasem Soleimani. Just click on that. It'll take you to Amazon. Unfortunately, that's the only way I have of selling it at this point. But it'll take you to Amazon. I think it's $3.99. It's not very expensive. You can also find used copies of the heart of the soft-bound book on the internet for a couple bucks. So it's not expensive to find, and it will equip you to understand what is going on right now today with the crisis that is still building between Iran and the United States, Iran and Israel.
Ladies and gentlemen, I suggest that you get the book, because we're living in the era that we're watching the Middle East, and as we watch the happenings in the Middle East, we're literally watching the eschatological prophetic text of the scripture leaping right off the pages. And so I suggest that you get that. And also, Ken, let our listeners know how they can get on your mailing list, email list, to receive your update newsletters.
Well, that's the simplest of all. Just go to my website, kentimmerman.com, and after about 5 or 10 seconds, there'll be a pop-up field. It's free. You just put in your first name, last name, and your email address. I don't want any other information. There's no credit card, no nothing. There never will be. It's all for free. And you'll get emails from me once a week, once every 2 weeks, something like that, not very often, but with updates on what's going on primarily in the Middle East, but also security issues here in the United States. And by the way, I consider election security to be a security issue, because our freedoms and our democracy depend on it.
Absolutely. And the way we're headed now with the Biden cabal and the Biden administration, as I call it, we're selling America out. And there's an attempt today, Ken, as you know, there's an attempt today to have a one-party system for all future. And they're going to attempt to do that by doing away with the nuclear option and then doing away with the idea that we need to have a level-headed Supreme Court by packing the courts and adding two additional states. And ladies and gentlemen, if they do that, we are done as a two-party system in America. Ken, I'm looking at an article, and the article is put out by an organization, Christians in Defense of Israel. I'm sure you're familiar with that. And it says, in part, Iran has one goal in mind, the bomb. For the Israeli-hating radical Islamic regime, nuclear weapons are the solution to what former Iranian president called the Israel problem. As this founding father of modern Islamic Iran explained in 2001, quote, the use of the nuclear bomb in Israel will leave nothing on the ground, end quote. With that being said, we have an approach in America with several presidents in the past, with the exception of President Trump. And President Trump put together the Abrahamic Accord, which was a good first step. But even with President Trump, there was a push for a two-state initiative. And Obama had pushed that with the Obama-Biden administration, and now Biden is pushing for that two-state initiative. In fact, already having funded the Palestinians now with several hundred million dollars. What are your thoughts about a two-state solution for the problem in the Middle East, i.e. with Israel?
Well, you know, the problem, Pastor, with a two-state solution is that Israel has no partner for peace. We have seen that Jordan wants peace with Israel. Egypt wants peace with Israel. The United Arab Emirates wants peace with Israel. And many other Arab states want peace with Israel. But there's no Palestinian partner that wants peace with Israel. I've been to Gaza many times. I've been and interviewed Arafat and his successors in Ramallah, in the West Bank. And they have never renounced the PLO charter that goes back, you know, decades to 1974, that calls for the extermination of the state of Israel, the abolition, abolishing the state of Israel, and pushing the Jews into the sea. They still believe that at an institutional level. Now, I'm not saying that individual Palestinians don't want peace with Israel. I think they do. I think a lot of Palestinians do. And I also have seen that myself on the ground. But they are hamstrung by this terror dictatorship leadership, starting with Abu Mazen, the so-called president, who's looking like a president for life in the Palestinian territories, but also with Hamas. And Hamas, remember, is the Muslim Brotherhood, and the Muslim Brotherhood is founded on the notion that Jews are the sons of monkeys and pigs, and that Allah has commanded all Muslims to fight them to the death, even unto the last day. So this is the problem that Israel has. This is the problem with a two-state solution. Until there is a partner for peace for the Israelis, there can be no two-state solution with the Palestinians.
Well, Ken, I'm in agreement with that. I'm looking at Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, and Ezekiel chapter 37 was the prophetic text for the formation of Israel. And after some 2,500 years of Israel, the Jewish people being in diaspora around the globe, they were brought back together as a nation. Ezekiel 37 prophesied that. That happened, as you know, May 14, 1948. And in part of that text in Ezekiel 37, I'm going to read two verses, because this is the key that I hang on to in relationship to the question of a two-state system. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, and will gather them together on every side, and bring them into their own land. That's taken place now, May 14, 1948. Verse 22, and I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be the king over them all. And they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all, end quote. I think God's made a definitive statement that he's not going to allow Jerusalem to be divided into a Palestinian headquarters, a capital, and a Jewish capital. Just as there are a lot of people that are saying that we can put the Jewish people can put a new temple on the Temple Mount right next to the mosque, and I believe that's an impossibility. In fact, I've said for years, Ken, I believe that there's coming a day that an Iranian Scud missile will be off target, off course, and go in and obliterate the mosque and allow the rebuilding of the temple there. What is your knowledge about the rebuilding of the Temple Mount movement in Israel today, and the way the Jewish people view that and their move to do so?
Well, I'm not an expert on that, but I have followed it to a certain extent. I understand it's very real and it's very extensive, that they have trained a whole cadre of priests, that they have the ephods and all of the liturgical instruments that they need to conduct the ritual purification of the new temple once it should be built, but that the Israeli government is trying to be very, very cautious and has discouraged this because they don't want to excite these millenarian feelings among the Jewish people. They are, you know, sticking right here in the here and now in this reality. Look, it is a question of politics in Israel, and the Israeli government has such a difficult time of it already that I think they just don't want to excite that part of the Jewish identity.
And with that being said, I believe we're looking at the formation of what we see in Ezekiel 38 and 39 with the five nations, and all of them are Islamically controlled, or fully Islamic nations being led by Russia. And I believe we're looking at the very near future of something of that nature taking place. And I know Biden is talking about going back now and resetting Israel to the 1967 property lines. What's your knowledge of that and your statement in relationship to the potentiality of that? And I'm looking at an article that talks about the memo that's already been put forth, a four-page memo about the reset, and that Biden is on that pathway to do so. And at the same time, looking at what Pompeo has said in relation to the former Secretary of State, it says, if it does, the Ayatollah Khomeini will one day hold the world hostage to its nuclear ambitions. The past 4 years, he said, have exposed the fact that the JCPOA was a false set of choices. The deal, he said, was based on the fundamental false assertions. First, if there is no JCPOA, there will be war. That was the ideal by Biden and Obama back several years ago. And it's the same position that Biden is taking today. So the point is, Ken, for the succinct question, they're saying we need to go back to the JCPOA, which is the 2015 nuclear accord with Iran. They're saying if we don't do that, there's going to be war. And yet we understand if they do that, there will be war. And at the same time, there's that secret memo that's been put out within the Biden administration of trying to force Israel to go back to the 1967 lines. What are your thoughts on that as we summarize some thoughts today?
All right. Well, first of all, on the Iran deal, it's a false dichotomy, the JCPOA or war. It's a false dichotomy built on lies, you could say by the father of lies. You know, it has been built on lies that it's either this bad nuclear deal or war. That's not true. There are many, many, many other ways this can play out. By putting pressure on Iran's nuclear weapons program, you put pressure on the regime, and ultimately you give perhaps some oxygen to the people of Iran to overthrow the regime. That's the first thing. As to the Palestinians and the 1967 borders and this extraordinary memo that was revealed in the National and has been appearing all over the place in the Middle East, this memo came from inside the State Department, from the deep state. These are the people who were still there during President Trump's presidency, during his 4 years. Unfortunately, President Trump never got rid of them. Pompeo did not get rid of him. They never really took control of the deep state. And I believe President Trump was ultimately undermined and sabotaged by the deep state. This memo is the product of deep state thinking. They are absolutely wedded to this notion. Bring Israel back to the 1967 borders, a two-state solution. And I agree, by the way, with your reading of Ezekiel 37, that there is one Israeli state, one Jewish state acknowledged by God in the land of Israel, in all of the land of Israel. And that includes Judea and Samaria, which obviously go back to the time of the patriarchs and later on to King David. So this is the deep state operating, and I think we need to recognize that.
Absolutely. And, Ken, we've got a minute or so left on the broadcast. One of the things that I've always said, in fact, the scripture is very, very clear that God's going to bless the nation that blesses Israel and curse the nation that comes against Israel. And as a result of that, I think we need to be careful as a nation, as Americans, as to what we allow from the political leadership in Washington. Hang on for a moment, Ken. I believe we have a caller. Bob, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Yeah, Ken. Can you talk about Iran's aspirations in the sea, in the oceans there? They seem to be ramping up a lot of activity there.
Well, that's a good point, Bob. And it's not just the Persian Gulf along Iran's coastline. The Iranians are going out into the Indian Ocean. They're going into the Red Sea. This is one of the reasons I believe that they've been supporting the Houthis in Yemen, is that it gives them constant access to the Red Sea, which, of course, it gets them much, much closer to Israel. They are building up unconventional forces, a lot of these small speedboats armed with, the 50-caliber machine guns and anti-tank weapons, which can blow a hole in the side of a ship. And they have used swarming techniques with dozens of these small speedboats to encircle U.S. destroyers and U.S. aircraft carriers in the Persian Gulf. They also have ground-based missiles that are specifically targeted to their anti-shipping missiles that they've acquired from China, C-602 missiles. They're sea-skimming missiles that can take out major U.S. ships. Should they do that with a normal presidency, a normal U.S. administration, they would essentially lose their navy, as Ronald Reagan showed them in 1987 when they attacked the U.S. destroyer, the USS Roberts. Today, with Joe Biden, I think less so. I think the Iranians would hit us, and we would do very little back. That's my fear.
Bob, did that answer your question?
Yeah, should Israel be concerned?
Israel is always concerned with U.S. weakness. By the way, so are our Arab allies. And remember, the Abraham Accords, they don't get enough. President Trump does not get enough credit for this. It hasn't yet sunk in, I think, to our collective consciousness how important those agreements between Israel and some of its Arab neighbors are. The Saudis were virtual signatories of the Abraham Accords, and they were virtual signatories because of the Saudi crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, who we talked about earlier. The U.S. under Biden hates Mohammed bin Salman because he is wedded to these Abraham Accords, and because he himself, Mohammed bin Salman, has instructed the Saudi intelligence forces to talk to the Israelis. So they are cooperating all the time, and this is what Team Biden and the deep state in Washington wants to prevent. They do not want a situation where the Saudis and the Sunni Arab governments join forces with Israel and the United States to check Iran, to prevent Iran from going nuclear. They want an Iranian nuclear state. It's as simple as that. It's hard to understand, but that is their goal. Everything they're doing is to get a nuclear-armed Iran and get a Palestinian state that will challenge Israel from the inside.
Absolutely. Ken, before we sign off today, give our listeners one more insight as to how they can get your book, Countdown to Crisis.
Please come to my website, kentimmerman.com. There's lots of material there, books and articles. It's all free. The books you got to go to Amazon for, but the articles are all free. Come to my website, kentimmerman.com.
Amen. Ken, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk with us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.